is Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation's Restaurant News. I'm Jenna Teleska, NRN's Editor-in-Chief. Here on Extra Serving, we share ideas from restaurant innovators. And today we have quite the innovator. I traveled to Washington, D.C. to talk with Don Sweeney, CEO of the National Restaurant Association. And as many of you know, Don will be retiring at the end of this year after being at the association for 12 years. And, you know, it's a big job representing an industry that employs 15 million people. And Dawn has been a tireless advocate during her 12 years at the association. So coming up, I will be picking her brain on a lot of things: artificial intelligence and hospitality, leadership advice, and how she's getting the association ready for her replacement.
We had scheduled to meet before I knew you were going to be retiring from the NRA. I'm wondering if maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Most definitely.
Okay. So, thinking about your career here, what are the things that you are most proud of?
So it's interesting. I have spent very little time reflecting on accomplishments and at this stage, and much more about achieving certain things that we still have yet to do between now and the end. In the 12 years that I have been in this role, I'm incredibly grateful for the progress that we have made both as an industry and as an association and a foundation. Having said that, as I say, with every breath almost, there is so much more to do, and I can see a very bright and exciting future for the next 8 or 10 or 12 years of leadership, hopefully, that will follow mine, as we think about how to really position the industry for greater success. So of all the things that have happened in the last 12 years, and I came in 2007, the end of 2007, which was right before, obviously, the large recession that hit our country and our industry, and that was extremely challenging the first 2 or 3 years for all of us, and for a new CEO of an association that's an industry that had had 18 years of consecutive growth, then we find ourselves, like the rest of the American society, in a period of recession. It was incredibly challenging the first 2 or 3 years because I think the industry itself had not experienced a recession of that magnitude, and many people who work in the industry had never lived through something that challenging, including obviously me. So for the first few years, it was very challenging. Over the course of the following years, though, and over the last 12, we have been successful in more than doubling the revenues of this organization. We were about a $50 million organization when I arrived in 2007. Last year, we were about a $120 million association. We sold our very large asset, the National Restaurant Association show, last year, as many know. And that was a very significant financial transaction, as well as an important strategic business decision for us. So we've grown, we've improved our advocacy effectiveness, I think, very substantially over the last many years. I'm very excited about the direction we're headed in advocacy and the board leadership that we have, as well as the staff leadership in that area. But having said all of that, and knowing in the work that we've done with ServeSafe and growing the credentialing and certification programs and the training, and where we're headed with this new whole variety of programs called Serve Success, which is about professionalizing the industry, all of that is not what I'm the most proud of, although I am very grateful for all of that and frankly very proud. The thing I am the most, that I get the most joy from, I would say, and that I'm most grateful for, is the cultural shift that we've made here within the association, our ability to attract incredibly talented people, to retain incredibly talented people, to build an organization now of 350 professionals that is where everyone comes to work every day or with a great desire to make a difference in an industry that we all love. And it's the cultural shift. My goal all along has been to create a culture within our organization, our Ed Foundation, and our association that reflects the culture of the industry. So one of service, one of accomplishment, one of excellence, one of creativity. And while there's still always room for improvement, I do feel enormously grateful and quite honestly actually quite proud of the cultural shift that we've made here in the organization over that period of time.
That's great. How did you do that?
Lots of trial and error, some mistakes, some many lessons learned, a relentless devotion to continuing to try in the face sometimes of failure, not giving up, surrounding myself with people, which is the key for all of us, I'm confident, who are just way better than I am in so many ways, just willingness to be resilient, to bounce back when we've had challenging times. Frankly, to never give up is kind of a good motto, I think, for most of us, and it certainly is the case in the restaurant industry. And one of the things that I love the most about our industry is that the people who are successful in it just never give up. And in the face of recession, in the face of rising labor challenges, in the face of a workforce, lack of workforce, and all the things that we face every single day, people in the restaurant industry never give up. And I think I belong in the restaurant industry probably in large part because of that. We had a lot of challenges, but we worked closely and assiduously and very much in a devoted sense to track the progress we're making, identify the challenges we have. We did a lot of work on employee engagement. We frankly listened, sometimes better than others, but when we listened well, we got the answers from our own team in terms of what we needed to do to be better. But relentless resilience is probably the good way to sum it up.
I mean, and that's the, I think, the biggest issue a lot of the restaurant industry is dealing with right now, like the workforce question, like how do you retain people, how do you keep them, how do you pay them what they, you need to in order to retain them and give them benefits, and benefits not just in the HR term benefits, like making people proud to be at a place.
Absolutely.
Is there anything that, a takeaway from like your experience at the association that you think would translate to the restaurant industry on like how did you engage with the employees? How did you ask them the questions? Was it just one-on-one conversations with people, or did you send out like a survey? Like how do you get real feedback?
It was really every modality that's available, you know, in terms of actual official surveying, social media kinds of outreach, feedback, solicited and unsolicited perspectives on things that were going well or not going well, lots of individual conversations, asking our team of leadership here to really be a lot more accessible and available, creating environments for informal conversation as well as formal feedback, just lots and lots and lots of different things. Although I do think one of the things that we would all continue to benefit from is just really recognizing the psychic, you talked about the benefits, the psychic benefits that are available to all of us who work in the restaurant industry. There are so many benefits just to be part of an industry that's entrepreneurial and creative and open and challenging and challenged and growing. There are so many psychic benefits to working in this industry that I think, you know, on a day-to-day basis, there are also a lot of challenges, and it's easy for any of us to get caught up in all the challenges and the difficulties. But I think just taking a half a step back, you think about, you know, how does someone, when you're at a party or a barbecue or a family event or something, and somebody who doesn't know where you work, hopefully not a family event, but somewhere, somebody that says, you know, what do you do, where do you work, and you tell them you work in the restaurant industry, whether it's for Nation's Restaurant News or the Restaurant Association or an individual brand, just the look on people's faces, it's just this look of pure joy, like, yeah. Oh my gosh, aren't you lucky? And I have felt
so
that
cool.
Way. It is so cool, and it is. And I felt that way every day of every week of every month of my 12 years. I have felt really blessed, and I've tried to always remember how cool it really is to be part of this industry, and it is. There's a tremendous amount of things that are afforded to us in terms of societal impact that we can make, places where we can make a difference, the joy that we bring to people's lives, the comfort, the security, the employment, the you know, middle-class incomes and above that we help to engender and support in this society. I just think there's many, many benefits to being in this industry that sometimes you can forget about until you take a half a step back.
If you don't know, MUFSO is October 14th through 16th. And if you haven't registered, now is the time. Go to MUFSO.com, MUFSO.com. We've got a lot going on at the show, from education to that CEO Golden Chain panel, to offsites, to an expo hall, to a Taste Denver reception where you try local restaurants. So check it out.
About like replacing jobs with AI. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on AI and the future of the restaurant industry.
So I think AI in general is just a fascinating topic for all industries. And then layered on top of that, you think about our industry, which is one of service and hospitality and interpersonal interaction. It makes it even more interesting and challenging at the same time. We know that even today, you know, 8 in 10 restaurants are using technology in a very impactful and fundamental way to improve their competitive advantages. And across the board, every restaurant company we've surveyed says they absolutely are planning to increase their investments in technology. Now, technology is kind of a broad term. When you specifically talk about AI, that I think is something that has enormous implications, potentially positively, obviously, and less positively for our industry. From our perspective, we're thinking about it first and foremost today as what are the policy implications of artificial intelligence. And so we have been a founding partner in an organization called the EMMA Coalition, an organization founded by Michael Letito from the Littler Organization, a labor law firm, and ourselves. And we are really looking at, you know, what are the public policy, labor policy, workforce policy implications of artificial intelligence, because they are dramatic. And the presidential candidate forums that are coming up now, and they're going to into the election year, as well as just general public policy in Washington through the regulatory agencies and Congress, we need to be aware, from the standpoint of the restaurant industry particularly, what are the implications on workforce, on labor laws, on, you know, paid sick leave, on all the various pieces and parts of public policy that we have had opinions and perspectives on. Those things are evolving. And so there's huge policy implications of AI, as well as obviously massive guest experience implications. And I think the idea is to try to be in the place where the consumer is, not ahead of them, but not behind them. And that's challenging because there are different segments of the consuming population are at different places. We think, obviously, hospitality is the foundation of our industry. There's always a warm human smile and connection is vital to what is provided in our industry, and we think that will always be continue to be vital. But I do think Danny Meyer's recent point and others who have said, you know, there really are things, higher order human interactions that can be savored and expanded to the extent that some of the more routine things can be more automated.
And what about next year? Do you have next year, like, some of the key things that the association is going to be focusing on?
We've been really successful, and I'm extremely encouraged with the work we've done in the foundation with our apprenticeship program and our ability. We just recently received an additional grant of $4.5 million from the Department of Labor to expand our work with Restaurant Ready, which is a program for opportunity youth, and in this case, people coming out of prison who want to reenter the workforce and have a second chance. And we have, again, lots of things that we have on the docket for that over the next couple, 2 or 3 years. But again, for us, it's we lead with advocacy. That's so much of what we do here, and we try to take opportunistic advantage of opportunities both in the state, local, and federal, where we can make a difference to help protect the industry and then to try to advance the industry where that's possible. And it's, quite honestly, it's very, very challenging right now. It's extremely challenging.
You can skip this question, but do you have any advice for whoever takes over as CEO?
I will refrain from giving specific advice to whoever follows me, because I think one of the reasons I've been successful is that I was able to find my own way, and I think anyone in this role really does need to find their own way. But finding your own way from an authentic standpoint, being yourself, like truly bringing your full self to this job, allowing yourself to forge the friendships and relationships, and because it's so, this industry and this organization is so rich with that. I think that, as I think about leaving at the end of the year, the most important thing that I will take with me are those friendships and those relationships and those challenging conversations and all that, because I think that it is in the richness of that that you get the most, that I have found the most joy that I've ever had in my professional life. I have had the most joy I've ever had in my professional life here in this role. And I hope the person who follows me, and this is not advice, this is just a wish, I really do hope that the person who follows me can find the same level of joy that I have had.
Well, that's great for any leadership role, taking it yourself and kind of applying it and being authentic with it, because you can't, I mean, I found even as an editor, I can't be like the editor before me, because
exactly.
It just doesn't work, and you got to figure out what works for you.
And I think for different of us at different points in your career, sometimes you try to emulate. I know I did at different points in my career. I try to emulate someone who came before me, or emulate someone who I respect from, you know, a different industry or different organization. I want to be like them. The truth is, you can take qualities and learnings and lessons and apply them to your own situation, your own self. But I think the sooner in our professional careers that we figure out that we are unique, when we each individually have to take our own point of view, our own positions, our own stance, our own space, the sooner you can figure that out, the more successful and fulfilled I think we can be.
I mean, it's also very scary.
It absolutely is.
You don't know if you're doing it right.
Yeah, the truth is, pretty much all the time, it's pretty fair to assume from my standpoint, I'm probably not doing it right, because you learn, you know. And I think that whole idea of comfort zone, I have spent a lot of time in my own reflection trying to figure out the living in the comfort zone, working outside, when do you stretch outside your comfort zone. And I concluded more than a decade ago, before I even came to this role, that I needed my comfort zone to be my uncomfortable place. So I was going to only work outside my comfort zone. And over time, your comfort zone grows to take some of that space up, and you become a little more comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, you know, living from a standpoint of, oh my gosh, I'm not ever sure I'm 100% right, and it's okay. But I'm going to keep evolving. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. I'm going to shift. I'm going to change. I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to try to correct them, I'm going to, most maybe importantly, admit it when I make a mistake, acknowledge it, and then try to learn from it. And there's a whole part of our careers that many of us don't get to until we're in the back end of our career, where we figure that out. The sooner you can figure that out early in your career, I think the more successful and fulfilled you can be.
And that sounds like good mentorship as well.
Absolutely. Mentorship is vital, and both, I mean, 360 degree, mentoring others, allowing yourself to be mentored, reverse mentorship, younger people teaching, or less experienced people teaching more experienced people, sharing the things you've learned, lessons learned, storytelling, all of that. And again, our industry is exceptional at this, and we have platforms like the Restaurant Association and the EDGE Foundation and the Women's Food Service Forum and publications like Nation's Restaurant News and others that help us do those storytelling. I think that is vital, vital for us to continue to learn from each other and grow.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention?
I remain extraordinarily grateful for having found my way to the restaurant industry. And when I came here in 2007, I was not looking for a job. I didn't know enough to know how happy I would be here and how well I would fit culturally. But I did know that I wanted to make a difference, and I wanted to make an impact. And that's always been my personal driving force. And boy, oh boy, I had no idea how many opportunities there were for impact in art till I got here in this industry. And I am genuinely grateful for the support and the guidance and the course correction and the input and the constructive criticism and the actual criticism and everything that I have been privy to over these 12 years, and confident I will through the last 6 months of my time here. I'm just actually extraordinarily grateful for it, and I can't imagine as having worked anywhere else than the restaurant industry. It's just the most amazing industry in the world, literally. And I'm just really privileged and proud to have played a small role for a decade or a little more in the evolution of what I consider to be the finest industry there is.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Great. Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thanks for listening to our Extra Serving podcast. For more live discussions, come to our MUFSO conference in Denver. That's in October 14th through 16th. And you can register at MUFSO.com, MUFSO.com. Next week on Extra Serving, we will have Pokeworks Chief Marketing Officer on, and he's going to talk about how to beat the fad stigma. Until next time.